Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I be rolling with you, mommy. I be feeling emotion. When I'm inside you, I be deep as the ocean. When it comes to your love, can't lie. It be strong as a potion. That's why me and you forever be coasting. Let's roll. Co-pilot on the passenger side. Be so fly. Yeah. She so lit. We so high. Just me and my chick. Yeah. Just me and my chick. Yeah. Co-pilot.
Yo. What's going on, y'all? How y'all doing out there in this world today, man? It's your boy, Rod One, man, and we're back with another one. This is Sparking Conversation. And I like to say each and every time, man, that I get on here, man, it's just an honor to be able to be in front of y'all each and every week and bring y'all these topics and introduce y'all to some of the most interesting people in the world, as I like to call it. And as of lately, I know the show has been geared towards impacted families. And what we mean by that is that, you know, impacted families that's been dealing with things that they just can't seem to, you know, get somebody to understand that this is going on or to hear their voice or to feel like their story is important. And I think a lot of things that people deem is not important be the things that be the most important, because how can we learn from the lessons? Like, I know it's a thing in our community, right? Like, it's one thing that we jump out there. We always say, we can't really blame other people for what they do to us based on what we do to us. And it's true. But what's also true is that when things affect you, when it hits you on your doorstep, it just hits differently. And I think things affect you differently. And I think at that moment is when people start to get in their mind that, you know, this could have been avoided. This could have went a whole nother way. Only if these things have been implemented more, people start to realize the things that they didn't do once things hit their doorstep. But we want to get out of that mentality. I think the thing that's different about the older generation that we consider the golden generation of, where, you know, everything was supposed to be based on the whole family structure, on gender base or gender roles, versus what's going on now. And now we're more separated than ever. I mean, everything is designed to keep us separate. Men and women, black and white, this and that. I mean, everything that is going on right now is meant to keep us separate. And I don't understand why people are still falling for the same trick. Like, it's right there in front of you. Like, how many times are you going to stub your toe in the same spot before you realize either you need to walk a different way or move whatever is in your way out your way so you can stop stubbing your toe? Like, you know that you're going to do that. And I think that that's one of the most annoying things, is to stub your toe. I think it's super annoying when it happens to you out of nowhere. Sometimes the joint feel broke. That's how hard you be stubbing it. And it don't be. It just be hurting like a motherfucker. And you never realize how much you need a pinky toe until your shit hurt. And then you be like, damn, no wonder it's dead. I promise you. Everything on you is needed. And I think that's another thing when it comes down to what happens to these children out here. I think it's everyone's responsibility. If you're a parent, even if you're not in the places that these parents are or where they live, come on, y'all. It still needs the same support, because you as a parent, you're going to want that. I promise you. If things happen to you and you want justice and you need people to hear you, you're going to want somewhere and somebody to give you that opportunity to let you get that off, y'all. And that's what this platform is for. Sparking Conversation is here for that particular reason. Not just that we talk to business owners and we talk to entrepreneurs and we talk to, you know, people about things that go on in the world each and every day. Like I said, it's for Spark a Conversation. Hopefully, for those of you that watch the program and watch the playbacks and stuff, y'all go have a conversation, whether it be with your children. If you hear the way that these moms talk about the things that they're dealing with and the things that they had to go through, whether it's you yourself that feel like, you know what, let me go check out the laws in my state. Let me go look up this, that, and the third so I could be prepared just in case, because I am a parent. And you got to put yourself in other people's shoes sometimes. You don't have to walk in them. You just got to try to put them on. You know if they don't fit or not. And if they don't fit, it's going to hurt, right? I bet. So that's what we're saying. It's the same thing. If it's going to hurt, then you realize that that person is hurting too in them same exact shoes. Even if they do fit, they hurt, right? Because understand this, resources are starting to be depleted based on decisions that people are making off the people who actually go to work every day. Your money is not your money until you understand exactly what it means to have money. I promise y'all, pay attention. This is not financial advice. I want y'all to understand, if you missed different steps in life that could have caused you to have financial freedom, do not miss the ones that's going on now. If you're afraid that AI is going to take your job in the future, then you need to figure out what companies and what groups of companies that are out there that's investing in it so you can invest in it now. That way, if your job is taken in the next 10 years or so, you ain't got to worry about another job because you invested in the company that did it. And as their profits start to go up because they don't have to pay out as much, you start to make more in dividends or whatever, or just making more money investing in the stock because you were smart enough to understand that there is a way. It's just that information. That's what's wrong with our people. That's what's wrong with that. It's the information. Sometimes when people give out the information, they reject it. Why? Because their minds ain't there yet. Their mindset ain't there yet. It's so many times that I be having, like if you think about so many times that people be around people and they talk about things, they'll check out when it comes to these type of things, when they talk about investing and stuff like that, because it don't interest them, because I guess they feel like whatever they're doing now is going to always be there. I don't know why people don't realize that the only thing that's constant is change, yo. Come on, stop playing. You can change your life if you change your mindset. All I'm saying is pay attention. There are a lot of things out there that you can put small amounts of money into. No financial advice. I'm just telling you to go research, and it could change your life. Stop getting caught in the hamster wheel, all right? I mean, it's nobody's fault but your own. You can't blame your job for how you feel every day if you ain't going to do something about how you feel every day. Come on, stop playing. We got a whole lot of people who just ain't got it going on. Like, think about it right now in New York. So it's not safe in New York. Now, this is the same place that they said, hey, y'all come on, B. Y'all come over here. Y'all come chill with us. Don't worry about it. We got y'all. We're going to give y'all this money. We're going to put y'all up in schools and anything else. We're going to give y'all shelter. Just come on through, B. Y'all go through the border. Y'all could come rock with us. Now they got the National Guard out there in subways. Now, what does that tell y'all, man? Like, if nothing else, y'all don't see the play? Like, nobody don't have to tell y'all exactly what the play is. And then all these people in there, what? Now you don't have to have an ID to vote? Since when? You got to have an ID to do everything else. And so you mean to tell me to pick the president of the United States, you don't have to have an ID? Fucking up. Y'all don't get it? It's a lot of things going on. These politicians, these things, there's things going on behind the scenes. And right now, this is the time more than ever for people to get their voices heard. This is not the time for you to sit back and allow each and every day to go on like it belonged to you. No, it belongs to whatever your purpose is. And you got to remember that, you know, because sometimes people be too much into themselves. Look at Don Lemon, like right here, how he going to get fired from CNN right? Get an opportunity over there with Elon Musk and his first interview with Elon Musk, and he get fired the same day because he was up there being acting like he still worked for CNN. It's just crazy. Like, I don't understand how people, yo, I can't even call them our people. You get what I'm saying? Because all skin folk ain't your kin folk, yo. But tonight, we definitely going to get into it. I want y'all to understand we're going to continue to make sure that these impacted parents and these impacted families get this information out, all right? So we got a young lady that's going to come on right now. She's going to talk about a situation with her son. And I want y'all to pay attention tonight. And all y'all that's going to watch the playback, I want y'all to also pay attention to the fact of, think about this. No matter where the situation took place, just think about how similar the stories may be at certain instances. I want you to really think about that, because that is what's going to help everybody to understand that you got to be more empathetic to what goes on around you, because it could happen to you. And when it does, you're going to want to be able to get out here just like the rest of these people and get this stuff out here. So I'm going to bring Meek up in a minute. Y'all know Illy going to come on in a few. Right. And then we're going to let our guest introduce herself and tell y'all what's going on in her world. Right. So let's see what's going on. Yo, Meek, what's going on, y'all?
What's up? What's up? How you doing?
Ain't nothing, chilling, yo. You already know, man. It's another week. We made it.
We did. Somehow.
She said somehow. Yeah, we got to keep going. We got to keep going, though, right?
Yes, no choice.
Yo, let me ask you something, though, yo. So I be thinking about this, right? Like, even with earlier, because we're going to get our guests up here in a minute. But before we get into that, I want to ask you something about how important you think it is for people to actually appreciate opportunity?
I mean, it's a must. You got to be able to see it, first of all, see the opportunity. And go for that. That's important. You missing things if you ain't seeing those opportunities out there, taking those chances. It's a lot of fear. It's fear-based.
And I think that's what's going on out here. I think a lot of people don't recognize opportunities when they're in front of them.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people take things for granted, and which is, I feel like they feel like it's automatic. Like, it can't be, you know, given to the people who want it the most. I think a lot of things is privilege-based, right? Entitlement. Where people just feel like it's just automatically supposed to come to them based on association and stuff like that, right? But I just think opportunity is important. I don't know. I just felt like I wanted to figure out what your thoughts are about.
I get an opportunity. I'm jumping on. I'm researching it. If it sound right, if it feel right, I'm gonna try something. I'm gonna try everything.
Hey, listen, a lot of people need more of that mentality. You know, when it comes to, things that they feel like it's an opportunity. You know, like, everything ain't an opportunity. Like, yeah, somebody might walk up to you and say, "Yo, I got a key for you. You want to flip that?" And be like, "No, that." You know what I'm saying? Like, not that opportunity. Well, you know what I'm saying? But there's certain things that go along with your personal, you know, like, agenda. Like, and what I mean by that is that, like, you, like, somebody may come and say, "Hey, I heard you do this. Would you want to work for a publisher, like a book publisher or something like that?" That's an opportunity, because that's along the lines of what you would be interested in going forward. I think a lot of people don't recognize those moments. They may think that it has to come in the Vegas lights for them to know that it's an opportunity given to them. Or some people feel like the people who give them opportunities are only the people who pay them.
Yeah. Or, like I said, it's fair. They see it, but they know if they do it, they got to do the thing. You know, like, you accept the opportunity. Now you have to do what it requires for that opportunity. And that terrifies people.
That's a fact. You know what I mean? Everybody want to be famous until they get famous.
Yes.
Well, all right. So tonight, right, we have a young lady in the building. I know, like, For her, this is going to be something that we're going to allow her to really get, you know, open up and get this thing off, right? Because she's been dealing with her particular situation for over 9 years now. It's going closer to 10 years that she's been dealing with her situation. And then, you know, based on the time frame, it was during COVID and a lot of other things. So, you know, as most of the moms that's been on here, you know, for her, she hasn't had a lot of opportunities to really get out here and tell her story about what she's really been dealing with in regards to getting justice for her child. And I feel like that's very unfortunate, right? Because, you know, the one thing that people say we don't have is time. But I just notice in our community, that's everything that the only thing they're giving us, like, it's time. Either they locking you up, giving you time, or whenever you're going through something, they're gonna take their time getting to what you need, but let it be on their end. It's instant. You understand what I'm saying? That's what I mean by the power of organization. I'm not talking about going out here finding the next Malcolm X and then trying to follow somebody. You know, hell no, we won't go down Capitol Hill. We don't need that. Right? Because soon as somebody step out there and try to be that, they're going to take them down. You know what I mean? But we need a real movement, yo. We need a real movement of people that are individually. This is the only time where we need more chiefs than Indians. You get what I'm saying? We need the Indians to support the chiefs that's immediate. Like their families, their friends, that's the Indians for certain chiefs. But we need everybody that's dealing with or that's impacted to be a chief in their own right. Right? Because that's the only way. Like, they got to be able to help the next person behind them because it's a purpose. And we can say all day, like, yo, you could have went left instead of right. You know, we know that fate is fate. And at that moment is when you got to be the person to figure out, yo, am I going to fight or flight? And these moms have not looked at the flight button at all. They don't give a damn about time. They don't
even give a after damn 9 years.
That's right. They like, we still fight mode, fam. How you doing out here? You ever heard of, we don't get tired? We don't get tired. Because they got a purpose. They got a reason why they're doing what they're doing. And that's what I want people to get out of this. So we're going to bring up. Okay. So she can introduce herself to the people and let them know what's going on. So let's see. There she is.
Hey.
Hey. How are you?
I'm okay.
Now, we talked about this a few minutes ago about your name. Now it's a whole nother one.
Yep. I'm going to give you the real deal, just in case if somebody look up the case.
That's right. They want to know what's going on. So, listen, I need you to tell everybody who you are and introduce yourself and let them know what's going on.
My name is Erica Hicks Woods. Mm-hmm. I am the parent of Quandavier Hicks, who was killed in Cincinnati June 9, 2015 by 3 Cincinnati police officers. I don't even know where to begin. Like, I want to say my son had started being harassed by this one officer, which was one of the officers that was involved. His name was Benjamin Snyder. So, you know, he started calling me like, I got this cop on me. And I'm like, I'm not from here, you know, because my mom lived in Cincinnati, even though I was born and raised there. And right. I have a lot of other family there. My mom had just had a double knee replacement. So he was like, I'm going to live with my grandma. You know, he was a grandma's boy. Right. So I'm like, okay, but you ain't going to like it. You know, they got snow. You know, you from the South. You ain't going to like it. But he took that opportunity. He was just like, Ma, I got to get out of this. In which, I ain't going to lie, I was kind of like jittery because I'm like, you going to a city where if something happens, this is how I'm thinking ahead, not even knowing. If something happens, I can't put my hands on you. That's how I felt.
Right.
But then being a young man, I knew at that point, if he was ready to hit the wilderness, hey, you can't hold him back. Because at that point, he's just going to rebel against you.
Right.
So to take the story forward, he ended up moving up there. He started dating a Caucasian young lady.
Right.
And that's where the problems began. Because he was a black southerner, she was, you know, that pretty white girl in Ohio, but she liked that black boy. Every right. time you saw her, you saw him. Every time you seen her, you saw him. So this particular night, him and a guy got to arguing over, I think they were called Rock Revival jeans. This show, out of touch of fashion, I didn't even know what Rock Revival jeans were.
Okay.
A pair of brown Rock Revival jeans. So, you know, I'm like, you know, you arguing over a pair of jeans. Like, if you got jeans, give me jeans. But he was like, he got my jeans. You know, they exchanged jeans or something.
Right.
So this particular time, you know, my son didn't get him jeans. He didn't get my son jeans. Dude went and got a gun walking up and down the street. So this, he called me on the phone. I'm down here in Atlanta working. He called me. He was like, Mom, I'm going to jail today. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, so he was like, he walking back and forth in front of my house. Like, this finna go down today. I'm like, Quandavia, please, whatever you do, do not have a weapon. Do not go on the street. Like, I cannot get there to you. This is probably like, ironically, maybe 11:30 that afternoon, we right. got into a heated discussion about it, and he hung up the phone. This is why they always say, be careful what you say when you hang up the phone. He hung up the phone. I kept working. I had a 12-hour shift. Kept working, not thinking nothing about it. So as 10:30 hit, my phone started jumping off the hall, just ring, ring, ring. And I'm like, I'm steady trying to lay my residence now, like not even the phone. So the first call I got, somebody asked me, like, are you on Facebook? And I'm like, no, I'm at work. Like, what's going on? Stop whatever you're doing to get on Facebook. Mind you, I'm not paying attention. I'm still getting my residence ready. I got like 14 residents in the house. So I'm like, still right. getting my residence ready. The next phone call I got, it was my daughter. I have 5 boys and 1 girl.
Okay.
It was my daughter. She called me. She was like, Mama, she was like, have you been on Facebook? And I'm like, no. She was like, man, go on Facebook. I was like, why everybody telling me to go on Facebook? Like, tell me what the F is going on. Like, right, what's going right. on? Y'all know I'm in the middle of work. This is what I do. Like, what's going on? She was like, I can't even tell you, Mom. And the way she sounded, I knew then I need to go to Facebook. But I didn't go to Facebook. My dad called me.
Ooh.
He asked me, he said, are you sitting down? And I said, no, sir. I said, what's wrong? He was like, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. Nobody else want to tell you. I'm like, tell me what? Everybody telling me to go to Facebook. Tell me what? He said, they killed your baby. Mm. And I'm like, they killed who? You know, not thinking. The last conversation I had with him was he was in an argument with these people. So I'm thinking somebody off the street killed him. Right. They killed who? He said, they killed you, Erica. They killed you. And I'm like, no, it can't be. I just talked to Fun. They were like 11 o'clock today, Daddy. 11:12 that night, my son was dead in a matter of 3 minutes.
Wow.
And the time was so ironic because that's the last time, like, he couldn't take back what he said. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah. More or less, that's... that's what stuck with me.
Right.
And I just knew by me being here in Georgia, like God telling me I got to get there.
Right.
I supposed to have lost my nursing license, and I'm just being honest, because I walked out of a house and left 14 residents in their sleep, but I called the owner and like, look, my son just got killed. I got to get out of here.
Right.
I walked outside the door. The sky was just like a pretty Hawaiian blue.
Wow.
And like, is this your way of letting me know you're okay? Like, something has happened. I called the phone. The police answered the phone.
Mm.
And they asked me, they said, who are you? And I said, who are you? Where's Quandavia? I can't tell you anything. So they wouldn't tell me that. My brother, my mama, I'm kind of shivering it out because it's still over the panel.
No, no, no. Take your time. Take your time. Get it. Whatever you. Well, yeah, you good.
My brother, my mama, they got to the house. They were denied the right to identify him.
Wow.
My brother got so irate, he ended up going to jail that night. They let my son lay in the building 3 hours with
okay. I know this is tough because you haven't had an opportunity to really talk about this like this in this capacity because, you know, you've been having to deal with a lot on your own. I'm not saying that you don't have a support system. I'm just saying, like, in regards to you telling
me. It really don't, Roger, to be honest. It's like when you fight across state lines, you don't have that support that you give to the mothers that's on the ground with you.
That's right.
So I'm all the support I got because I'm all the support he need because I promised him until my last breath, I'm going to fight for you.
Facts.
I'm not going to let him get away.
Right.
But back to the story, they end up following my son from a store to go inside his building. Two officers went up the back, one officer went up the front. They met him like on the landing.
Right.
My son ended up going upstairs where he lived, but they blocked the door. And they told him they were there to arrest him. But my son kind of knew he's right. He was one of the ones that you ain't gonna fool me.
Right. So he probably basically asking them the right questions.
So you know, he went upstairs. He ended up just going upstairs in his apartment. They called for reinforcement. By the time they called for reinforcement, they opened up the door to his apartment, didn't announce the rest of the girls, and just went in. My son and a dog, and he had somebody in the back.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't know a witness was in the apartment.
Gotcha.
So as my son opened the door, they say what their claims is, he opened the door with a 22-inch rifle. They saw the barrel of the gun. They pulled the gun and the lady shot. But what's crazy to me is you saying they stood 2 feet apart. My son fell on the lady instead of being blown away from the lady.
Right. So how? Okay.
So she took the shot. He wouldn't feel on her. He'd feel back.
Right. Exactly. Or down, not forward.
Right.
Yeah. But definitely not forward. You know what I mean? The impact alone from that wouldn't push you.
So when the shot was taken, they said he was supposed to fell on her, but he was inside of a stairwell. No blood spatter.
Wow.
It's just something.
Yeah. I understand.
It was no blood spilling inside of the door where he's supposed to answer the door. The only blood was on the outside of the door steps, which led us to believe that he was in the clear.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I had to As I'm on my way there, all I can think about is, you know, like, he died by himself. The last thing he told me, like, if I die, mama, I'm gonna die trying, but I'm going to hell tonight. That's exactly what he told me. So when he said that to me, and I got that call, I'm like, was he preparing me for this?
Yeah, nah. I think, yeah, that's one thing in for us, you know, a lot of times as men, right? And it's just something I like to make sure that, you know, sometimes the ladies know. I know it's a difference in the way that, you know, we think. And I think for us, sometimes we say things, right, in a way that we have to draw a certain amount of courage for whatever we feel like we're going to face because of what we don't want to look like or feel like or, you know, put ourselves in a certain vulnerable position. So we say certain things, you know. There have always been, like, things that have been said, like, even with rappers and stuff like that. Like, you think of Tupac and Biggie. Like, I think about them, like, the titles of songs and albums that they had, and people would correlate that, like, you know, when you say certain things. Like, well, we understood the reason why they said that. But then as the overall masses, we understand what energy is too when we put things in the atmosphere. So just so you know, your son didn't mean that literally. And I think that if anybody from our community will understand what it means in that moment that, you know, somebody trying you and you feeling violated and you feeling disrespected, you're going to say certain things that you're going to draw your courage from. Now, is it always the right thing? No. And I think that's what a lot of people need to understand sometimes too. Like, yeah, we don't always do it right, right? We don't always say it right, right? But genuinely, you know, we're not in the literal space. Like, we don't mean that literally because there's nobody that says that, you know, when they've gone to hell and came back and was like, yo, fam, that's somewhere you want to go. I think it's more the mentality of I'm willing to go out for mine for the disrespect. But see, that wasn't what happened to him. That was not the altercation that took his life. His altercation came from people who are supposed to be able to de-escalate from a situation, and they wasn't reporting to a situation. They was reporting to, like you said, an accusation, so to speak. But based on who the person that was involved, they already had something out for him based on what you said already, based on his relationship.
Right.
So with all the evidence that you found, so how are you guys able to get that much information, being that, you know, it was so much time that has gone through, like, exactly like how things transpired? How was that able? Did a detective go through it with y'all, or did you do your own sort of investigation?
Kind of from what they told me,
right,
I always felt it was something different. And from the body diagram in the pictures, is totally different from what you tell me about Miles. His body diagram has him lying face down, but his pants are halfway to his knees, so I knew he was dragged to a position or dragged to a space.
Mm.
He had, I would say, they said he took one shot in the chest, the bullet post went left, right, and traveling to stop at the clavicle. But so much blood was in the house. We were believing that he was shot in the back of the head.
Gotcha.
So as we pressed, as I said, he laid in the bed in the hall with them for 3 hours. Nobody else in the house but him, him and the police. They searched the house without a warrant. What they did take from the house was a bunch of ammunition to a rifle that does not work. That did not work at that point.
Wow.
So the question came up, did Quan Davey really have a gun? Mind you, I told you there was a third person in the house.
Yeah, definitely.
They didn't know this person was there until after the shots had been taken. He came out of the room and asked for Quan Avery. And they asked him where he came from. And he told them Quan Avery was giving him a place to sleep that night. Him and his wife was doing an altercation. And he was in the back room. Well, they shipped him up out of there. I hadn't seen the guy in like 7 years. Haven't seen him off the map. I haven't seen him. His sister worked for the Cincinnati Police Department. So I was kind of like, did you hide the witness off to kind of hide the truth?
Wow.
Because in Cincinnati, I think that's what I'm kind of dealing with. I'm dealing with it. People that know people that know people. The officer Benjamin Snyder, he killed a black man 2 years earlier, almost the exact same way as my son's killing is. Mm-hmm. Involved the exact same way. The only difference is the witness of reading him and said he sold him to put down a weapon. But it's my witness saying there is no weapon. There was no weapon. I can say the only weapon he had at that night was he had a pit bull he had raised that was very vicious. Even when they got ready to move the body, they couldn't take the dog out of the house because the dog would not move. That's just how serious, like, they had to tranquilize the dog to get the dog out.
Wow.
In the meantime, I'm on the way to Cincinnati. I get to Cincinnati the next day. I'm going to say around, it was maybe like 1 o'clock. They were just putting the warrant on the door, the search warrant, in which they had an already search department the night before. So I didn't understand why at 1 o'clock the next day you want to put a search warrant for ammunition. It didn't make sense to me.
Okay. So,
upon getting to Cincinnati, let me tell you this part. Upon getting to Cincinnati, I was denied the right to say that he was my son. I was denied the right to identify him. I had to get with Black Lives Matter Cincinnati. We rallied for like 2 days for the chief of police to say that he can be rolled out in the hallway and the bag can be zipped down and I can see that he's my child. Now go ahead.
They didn't want to give you access to identify your child?
No. Nobody from the police department called me and said that a shooting was going on. Remember, I told you I called the phone and they asked who I was. But nobody from the police department called me and told me that he was involved in the shooting.
Wow. Yo. Yeah. That's really,
and which was crazy because I'm like, I meet with these people, and these people tell me, "Oh, we're not saying that he didn't answer the door with a gun to protect himself." So I'm saying, "So what are you saying? It's suicide by cop. He was not involved with the police, but should be angry at the police to answer the door." And there's two white men and a black lady.
And they said the black cop lady is the one who shot him?
Right.
And she admitted to this.
But then, no. They fire her, hire her back as the lead detective now.
Okay, hold on. So they fire her from being a patrol cop, and then they fire her from...
But when they fire her, that's when she recanted her story of them, they didn't knock on the door. But it's like once she started coming out trying to tell her story, she got hired back. But in a higher position. So she's in a higher position. He's in a higher position, the white guy. And the rookie is probably just on the street. I don't hear too much about him. But I follow those two because those two names are the pseudonyms like he gave to me. She didn't kill me, he did. And I said, history doesn't repeat itself. There's no way you can have two killings within a 2-year time span almost exactly the same. But I'm supposed to be crazy.
And is that the narrative that you feel like they're painting?
Yeah, that's
about?
The narrative. I'm just a CNA out here that's, I'm a poor CNA. That's their narrative. I'm a poor CNA that's just looking for money. And that's not the case. I want justice. You can't give me a dollar to bring them back. Not $1. This was 6 in a bunch. You don't minus me one.
Right.
Why? You know what I mean?
Yeah. They always paint that narrative about people in our community. That's what I'm saying about... I know earlier when I start the show, I talk about financial freedom, right? Because it's so much of it looking like things that happen to us and we start to get loud because we feel like we want some money. Like they don't understand, like, yo, they go home and they kiss their family and they hug their family and stuff like that. And then you guys, you know, the family don't come back home like that. Money don't replace that. And for them to throw that narrative out there is crazy to me, man. And they happen.
And you ain't heard nothing yet. In three days in Ohio, if your body is unclaimed, they can cremate. Remind you, I told you it took me 2. So if I had not got that clearance on that third day, they would have cremated my child without my consent. But we raised money. We raised money. And when I said you, it was just like out of the blue. Of course, you know, us being black, we ain't got no insurance on all young kids running out here. You know what I mean? Because it's something I didn't expect. You know what I mean? This time I know he wasn't no kid to get in the crowd to just cause some chaos and nothing like that. I just knew, you know, like, he gonna make it okay in the big city to get something new. So I wouldn't have thought about when they hit 18, get insurance. You know what I mean? Because they were those type of children, they was kind of sheltered children until they got outside. And once they got outside, they still knew they had manners. They had, you know, that's the one thing the police was like, well, he real manable. Fuck being manable, he ain't got a life. Right. You gonna tell me he was real manable to you? That's not giving me any solace or peace of nothing. Because right. I still don't have a child.
Right.
All because of you. Somebody felt froggy that night. Somebody felt like being a man that night. And I just like I said about the lady, I said, if it's that they pressured you or you taking a fall for somebody, why put your life and your career on the line for somebody that's already done it? They can't hide it long enough.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you, so is she not communicating with you anymore, or what's going on with her?
Well, she don't communicate with the lawyer anymore. I got a pro bono lawyer that took the case. He lived in the neighborhood. So he took the case. And he still, you know, he was just like, you're going to win this because the city is at fault, no matter how long they try to run it. And like I told him, it's not about me winning it. It's about accountability. Number one, we made a change with his death. They started wearing body cams. After his death. That's one thing we pushed for, we got. Another thing we pushed for SWAT teams. You know, because they were kicking in doors, and that's what I felt like. I felt like they did a no-knock warrant on him because you did not announce yourself going into the house. Y'all went in, didn't announce yourself. He got the right to protect himself in his apartment if he had pulled a working gun. But there's no way a 22-year-old black man gonna pull a non-working gun and point it at somebody out of the door without knowing its repercussions if he's doing something in the street.
Right.
Or if he felt like that dude came back to that door, he ain't gonna answer no door with a 22-inch rifle that does not work. Stupid part to me. That's the only gun that you can find. So, okay, this is what he answered the door with. Up under my son's feet, there was some ammunition. And I guess it was placed there because the ammunition did not fit the gun. The ammunition did not work. So that was a second flag to me. Why would he have a gun with ammunition that does not work and point it at somebody? Once again, us being black, we ain't foolish, you know. So right. Me and the police went back and forth about it, but he was like, we're not saying that he answered the door with the gun to point at the police. They're saying that he answered the door to protect himself. Well, if that's the case, why didn't he hear knocking, hit him and say police? He ain't there. But the lady that stayed up under him, heard them and him. So we got a man in the room, a lady up on the apartment, and my son going, and his apartment was like going in a slant up a third story.
Right.
And the lady up under him, they didn't know apartment was there. They got a little film on YouTube, Third Eye, what happened to Quandavia Hicks. They did a whole little thing on it. But the lady is in the video also saying, like, they knocked on the door. He said he was coming down. They just pulled him out the door and shot. And when she said it, I'm just like, it makes sense. He had been shot at an angle because blood is on the outside of the steps. If he was standing inside the door, the force of the bullet would have pushed him through that stairwell.
Yeah.
But they told me I watched too much First 48. I got it recorded on a DVD. They told me I watched too much First 48. And I said, it just makes sense to me. It don't make sense for him to be standing 2 feet in front of an officer. And if somebody pulled a barrel or the gun and he's standing 2 feet in front of me, I don't need to shoot. The threat is gone. I can hit him in the ankle, boom. I can, you know, there were other ways to save his life that night. Even though after he had been shot, he had been handcuffed, a gun had been held on him until he stopped breathing.
Wow.
So this officer wanted to make sure, like, this boy was silenced. And then not just that, like I said, you didn't let my mama next of kin identify him. My brother next of kin took him to jail for trying to bust into the house just to see what was going on. They blocked off the street, I'm going to say about 2 blocks, kind of like Fruitville Station almost. Nobody seen my son's body come out the front of the house. They just seen the coroner taking the body up the back of the street. So they were more or less worried about a riot. But it didn't turn out. We didn't take it that far. We could have, because there were days we were in the street until we got an answer. Until y'all tell me something. Like, nobody wants to sit down with me. Nobody wanted to discuss any situation dealing with Quandavia. But I'm his parent.
Wow. And they were trying to get to that third day so they could just cremate him. So that's the main reason why you feel like it wasn't allowing him to be identified, because they knew then they couldn't. And then
that's why when they gave me the right, I made sure that they couldn't go back. You told me $1,400 to have him embalmed and my family could see him, because then at that time when they told me, it was only me that can look down in the bag and say, yeah, all I could say was, yeah, that's Quandavia, and that was it. So I was like, no, my mom and them, you know, he got a whole family out here. We got this $1,400. He gonna go to the funeral home. My mom and them gonna get a chance to see him, and then we'll do whatever we have to do at that point. So the lady told me, she said, well, you paying $1,400, it's just gonna be like seeing him in the hospital bed. He'll have on a hospital gown. He'll be, you know. So I'm like, okay, but when we get to the funeral home, he in a gold casket. And I'm like, wait a minute, we ain't paid to rent no casket. She was like, no, the city asked for him to be placed in the casket. And then at that point, she told me, she said, I ain't never seen nothing like this before. And I said, what you mean? She said, your son got killed on June the 9th. It's June 12th, and I got a death certificate. I got a death certificate within 3 days. I got it dated to show you within 3 days of him dying. So if it takes almost six to eight weeks for a regular death certificate to come, how did I get here so quick? I just think it was a lot of ish going on in the fire between the coroner. You know, it was just a lot. All these people are connected some type of way, but I don't know how. Because a lot of things were hid. And I mean, I feel like you say one bullet did that much damage. If he was that close to her, how? It don't make sense to me.
Yeah. It don't make sense if he was that close to her that they would have to shoot. Because right.
at that point, the threat is out the way. And yeah. that's my fight the whole time. You would have had a prisoner. She could have handcuffed him. She could have took a Billy Custodian him, put the handcuffs on him. Y'all would have had a prisoner. I still would have had a son. And he did his time for whatever, if possible. I still would have had a son. But somebody played judge, jury, and executioner that night that decided to take a life amongst the three of them, and we gonna keep it quiet. But that's not how it's gonna roll. Because I'm poking everything I find out on each one of them. I'm poking. Now you're trying to shut me up with, okay, well, we can mediate. Mediate is not going to help me bring him back. Mediate is not going to soothe my spirit. What's going to soothe my spirit is you and the city of Cincinnati be held accountable. Somebody going to be held accountable for this right here. Because this is a training that failed. He was supposed to be training these two officers. How did the training turn to a killing? Just how? Because this is the same young boy the day before that you had done harassed across the street, put him in the police car, straight checking his pockets, like just constantly harassing him. And I don't know what it was. I don't know if because he had the southern slang and he was just, you know, one of those people that people like. I just don't know, but it was just like, he was his target. April the 9th, you arrested him. Boom, he went to court for marijuana. Of course, all black boys smoke marijuana. He smoked it. You know, that's the times we in now.
Right.
You weren't like, okay, you found a pound of marijuana. You found some marijuana. You took him to court. Okay, he got probation for this. So now he gonna pay for it in Cincinnati. Get a little job, go to working. He harassing you about the little female girl. Telling you not to talk to her, but it's more or less like she coming to you. You're not talking to her. You don't have a car. She do. So I think that's when he started kind of like tracking the movement. Because wow. when his car would move, that police car would show up. When they come back, he would be across the street at the store. You know, like it was always something with Benjamin Snyder. And that's what in my heart, that's who I actually think took the shot. You took the shot from a distance, because if the lady was upstairs in front of him and your second partner was on the right of her, you had to bend down the stairs. And if this bullet came from an angle, you were only one down. So I don't understand. Just admit the fact that, hey, she ain't crazy.
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest narrative that they're painting about you. I just don't understand the first 48 comment. Like that would be the stupidest.
Yeah, his name is Mike Lewowski, the little fat white man always on white first 48. That's him. That is him. He told me that he said, huh?
No. You saying the guy who told you that is the guy that be on first 48?
Yeah, Cincinnati, Mike Lewowski. Yeah, I was in that building. Yeah, I got a recorder. Yes.
But so is he?
He told me I watched too much First 48. That's what he said. He said you watched too much First 48. I said, well, there's no way you're gonna tell me somebody standing 2 feet in front of somebody, a bullet is gonna make him fall forward on her instead of pushing him back inside the stairwell. There is no blood inside of the stairwell. The only blood is on the outside of the steps. That led me to believe that he was in the clear. So if he did have a rifle and he was pulled out, somebody from the side took the shot because the blood is only on the outside of the steps. He told me I watched too much First 48.
Nah, that's crazy. And for him to actually be on the show, because that would lead that the show is not credible then. If yeah. Saying, because they based on real events. I mean, things that really
Mike Lewowski, the fat white one on that wheel. Yeah. Him. He is the one in 2015 told me that I watched too much First 48. Like, that is not true. Yeah. And he told me, he was just like, I know nobody want to be, you know, he was like, I know nobody don't want to wake up to hear a child getting killed or a police officer not going home at the end of the day. I said, but the police officer going home at the end of the day, nobody came and told me that I didn't have a son coming home. I had an issue with it. Because as an entity, somebody from that police department should have called somebody from next of kin. That should not have been a news station in Atlanta, Georgia, that flashed my child's face before I was told.
And that's another thing. Like, I don't understand why they feel like they don't. I mean, first of all, if you are asking basic questions, that should be the way that they would ask a basic question as a detective, I'm thinking. Like, if you're investigating what happened, isn't that, like, basic questions? Like, if this happened, then how this?
And the police officers investigate themselves. They investigate themselves. So they don't like, we got GBI. No.
Dang, yo.
So another county department will come over and investigate. But that's the same ish to me.
I mean, they all crew.
Because all crooked.
And they so all the know DA,
the DA at the time when my son got killed, he is now on United States Supreme Court in Ohio. And I kind of feel like that's why we're not moving. Because you know the case. So and if you wasn't in the wrong, I don't feel like you would have came forth with a settlement. You thought I was going to bite and take the settlement and just okay and be gone. No.
So that is what I was going to ask next. So being that they said the thing about the money, they offered you a settlement?
Yeah, they offered me some money. And we turned it down. And we don't have mediation, but no agreement was made. So that's when they said, okay, we're going back to court. And this was 2019 when the Supreme Court ruled that the officers could stand trial.
And so now you guys are just waiting on a court date?
Just waiting.
Wow. I heard earlier, like, you know, there's a bunch of different things that take place, right? When we talk about Black Lives Matter, it's a lot with that organization when it comes to the way that people feel about them, you know, and in your instance, it came through for you. And then, and for other people, it pretty much hasn't. But what I would like to say is that, I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason, right? And I think that, you know, God has a way of sending you what you need when you need it. Now, at some point, people can say behind a title that they don't like a certain person, but at any given time that you are meant to get something, God is going to send it. And he's going to send it through people. And he's going to send it through people whether you expect it to be a certain group of people or not. Because at the end of the day, a group of strangers came through and they helped you. And I think from the sounds of it, that's what's going to help get things moving in your case is movements like that, where people are willing to make noise. And that's another thing about the power.
That's the thing when we rally, it's like, it's the in the community, like, we want answers. I mean, we making noise. We making noise. But it's just like, we make noise to where, like, the police try to, like, block our streets, you know, like, to keep us from going. But in a predominantly white neighborhood where he got killed in, I can't say, like, these people 9 years later were still staying 10 toes down. Like, we need to know, like, we want to know. And I appreciate it because I'm like, you know, 9 years, a lot of people tend to fall off because other things done took place. But if it's a rally tomorrow, we got over 100 people, like, we moving it because he was a fixture. Even though he was there a short while, he was a fixture in that neighborhood. He was where, like, one of the old ladies said at his funeral, like, when you get off the bus, if you got groceries, he will pick up your bags. He will take you and he will take them to your house. Every morning, he greeting you with good morning, beautiful, or good night. You know what I'm saying? He was just raised with the mannerism of, I always call it womanizing, because he knew what to say to a woman to kind of, like, you know.
Right.
When the mood came with that woman, you know what I'm saying? But he always had that respect for a woman. And right. So I think that took him a long way there. Even with the kids in the neighborhood, they were more or less like, you know, he would come out and play football with them. They ain't never seen nobody like this. And I'm like, well, down in the South, this is what we do. But once again, when you move into a city where you don't know nobody and you're trying to fit in, I just feel like he gave it the best he had, but what he gave out, a lot of them didn't appreciate, or a lot of them couldn't get with it because he was from a whole different era. Right. Like, his first set of snow, he was out there with swimming trunks on. Like, y'all, they got snow. Like, he just couldn't believe it because down here, he never seen snow before.
Right.
You know, so it was kind of like, I live my happy moments at the end, to me.
Yeah.
And I know he didn't suffer because they told me, you know, she was like, it was a quick touch of hand, touch this chest, and that was it, like, quick. When I tell you, I done talked to, like, psychics and just, like, I need for y'all to tell me, like, how did it happen? Like, go through the motion with me, like, show me. And it's like, oh, yeah, he, you know, touched his chest, boom, the shot was taken, touched his chest, and it was just quick. He didn't suffer, he didn't, and I'm like, that's my main point, because I felt bad as a mother. Number right. one, I let you almost 800 miles, and I could not be there to even hold you or even see you take this last breath. Let alone, right. I got to run around almost three days later to...
Uh-oh, I think your connection. Hold on. Here you go. Say something?
Yeah.
Say something real quick. Okay, there you go. All right, so your connection lost a little bit. You said you had to run around for 3 days?
Just 3 days. 3 days. From the 9th to the 12th. I didn't get to look at my son's face to the 12th. And I'm just like, when I looked at his face, you know, it's just like he was asleep. He had an orange piece of hair in his chin, and I told him, I said, Juan David, I promise you, you ain't going to die in vain. Your name not going to go down in vain, and I mean it. I fight across, even though my child got killed up here, I fight with a lot of moms here. And I fight with a lot of moms here because it still give me the drive.
That's right.
When I go back, because, you know, just like I told you, nine years over time, a lot of mamas we done gave up the fight. But if I'm not his voice, who's gonna be? If I don't stand up for him, who's gonna be?
That's right.
So with them, it's more or less like, I look at them and they're going through, but they ain't at the stage that I'm with. Some of them just beginning. Some of them has done cross over the 9-year mark. You know, right. But it's like, I deal with it by being with them.
Gotcha.
And I say that because I think if I'm by myself and, you know, and just to think about it or just to just something cross my mind, it's like, make me not want to live, but I also got to think. You got 5 other kids here too. Matter of fact, you got 8 grandkids now. And if right. you ain't here to make the world better for them growing up, then who's gonna look out for them? I gotta look out for their future until they can for themselves.
That's right.
So I push. It's a struggle, but I push it because I got grand boys that I know. That came in this world marked because of the color of their skin. They came without a fair chance because of the color of their skin. But they're not going to live their lives that way because you're going to have a fair chance if I can help you. If I can apply what I can apply in my village can apply, things will be different in this world. Because us mothers are not stopping those that have lost children. Or not even just loud children, just a whole impacted family, no matter what type of violence it is. Once you've been involved in some type of violence, it's like, we got to push back because of the hurt inside you, the hurt and the pain that you feel inside. You gotta release it to let the world know, like, we ain't dealing with this issue no more.
Right.
We saving our sons, we saving our daughters, we saving our lives.
Hey, look, y'all, listen.
So
That's been the thing, though. That's been the theme of all you moms. You know, whether, like you said earlier, whether they just getting into the fight of seeking justice, or whether they've been in it for a while, like you have. The thing is, I think she's gone. Okay, but the thing is, everybody is in that same space where they're definitely just not giving up. They're going to continue to push and keep going, y'all. And I want you guys that are watching, y'all. It's a few of y'all that's jumping on and off and on. I want y'all to make sure if y'all watching this right now on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel. Like this video so that it can get out to more people. I think a lot of people need to hear this story, you know, because no matter what, y'all know how it is, man. You have to let your children fly at some point. I think that's the scariest thing as a parent, you know, as they're growing up, you know, you can hold them, shelter them pretty much, protect them as much as you can, have them follow your rules. But once they get to a certain age and you got to let them fly, that's the scariest part, because you're hoping that what you've taught them is going to help get them to where you are. It's the worst thing for you to be a parent and you got to bury your children. You ain't supposed to be the other way around, right, me?
Yeah, it's unnatural. It goes against the laws of nature. It's not supposed to be that way.
Well, I don't know. It's like, we know that it's not supposed to go that way. It's just that from the story that she even spoke about tonight, like, man, you got, you know.
It's infuriating. Like, I can't. It's upsetting that we're getting similar stories from all these women and of things that are happening and the corruption that's going on behind the scenes to where they can't even get justice for it. It's just, I can't understand how this keeps happening and it's allowed to keep happening.
Gotcha.
When does it catch enough airways or affect enough people who give a fuck?
Right.
Make it stop. Like, that's where it's just, it's upsetting raising black kids and hoping every day that they come home. You know, like, it's just,
wow.
A lot of different races don't have to deal with that. And they don't understand that.
Nah.
Especially if you have a young black boy. You know, it's just, they're a target. Like she said, they have this mark on them fresh out the womb. You know, it's like already young thug in the making, or, you know, they have these labels placed on them without any of the actions to actually go with it.
Right. It's just the color of your skin automatically puts you in a category, right?
Or where you live. And, you know, and it's situations like where the kid lives has nothing to do with them. They have no, they have nothing to do with that. That's where they live. That's where their parents live. That's where they have to live. So why are you giving them this title? Why are you labeling them this way, giving them no chance? No chance but to go into that life, because how else are you going to make it? Everybody's looking at you that way.
Yeah. Until somebody takes it to a whole nother level and they say that I'm going to do the opposite of what people say about me. You know, but that's where it becomes the challenge, right? As human beings, you get into this place where, you know, you got this stigma, right? Whether, you know, like, okay, so I'm in danger and I'm hunted, but I'm going to be the hunter too, right? So you got people who try to do it to people before it's done to them, because they expect it to be done to them, so they do it to other people. That's a terrible way to look at life too as well. Like, you know what I mean? Because there's always ways to remove ourselves from situations that we don't have to be in. But in the case of when somebody purposely just wants to do something to you, that goes beyond your control. It's like with this young lady that we had on tonight with her son. Like, this person obviously had it in their mind made up that they were going to do something to this person, and they did. They did exactly what they set out to do.
Yep.
And that's the part that bothered me the most about all the stories that's going on. It's just so similar. Like, no matter where, it's like Mississippi, where we moved, Mississippi, Tennessee, then we in Georgia, and then South Carolina, and then now in Cincinnati, it's all the same. Like, police station or dealing with the police, you know, people are getting murdered. And as often as we would like to think that it's only happening when it makes national news, like a George Floyd and stuff like that, like, right?
Yeah.
But it's happening each and every day to people who do not get justice. And I think the only thing with George Floyd that got the most justice that it did, or as much as it got, I think me personally, because it was used to, this is just my opinion. I don't think that his life should have been sacrificed and used for anything. So I don't want people to think that I'm saying that. I'm just saying that it just seems like whenever they want to test us as a group of people, they do it based on emotion. And I think they know exactly what to do to trigger an emotion from us to be able to insert other things where they know we're going to group up and get together. And that way they can insert their agents in to really do the destruction and make it look like it was us. Because they know that we gather based off of emotion. Right? Like we will gather and we will do things. Like we will loot in a place that we live at. Like they will loot in a Target not 2 miles in from where they live at. They will do that. But they know that they will do that. So what they do, they put their own people in to do the worst of it. And it just looks like it's y'all.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen that there was footage of it. You can see that some weird white people going in, doing shit, getting shit started. And then once it started, if you don't see where the source came from, but you know your people out there, you're like, oh shit, this is what we doing now? Like, because we gonna follow, like, this is what we came here to do. Okay, well, okay, I hear windows breaking. That must be the next move. That must be the next step in this.
Right, right. So let's break windows. I hear windows breaking. And then next thing you know, you out there getting caught breaking windows. But the person who started everything were the people who were in there. They got dropped off. They did what they did. And then they got picked right back up 3 or 4 blocks later. And they let you finish it out and make the news. And we still are being separated and divided by emotion. And we still haven't realized the difference between having that emotional intelligence. You know, like, I get infuriated listening to these mom's stories. But I do know that logically, we know that the best way to get the justice that we need is to change things by making sure that people understand that, you know, use the power of social media for what it's for. Like, if they can use it to cancel people, then, hey, shouldn't you use it to get justice as well, too? Yeah. I mean, shit, you could be all in the streets all day long, but shit, let 1 million people be retweeting you. It's different than 1 million people in the street talking about, hell no, we won't go. Right? Mm-hmm. You let 1 million people retweet and you a hashtag and you start trending. Oh yeah, things change.
Yeah, you'll see shit moving real quick.
And I hope that's what I want for the parents to do, to really, you know, utilize the power of social media, because that's their next step in this. I mean, it seems like it's a small thing, but it's not. It's huge for them. Because like I said, everything is going to be based on the power of that this year. This year is going to be very interesting, y'all. With the elections, with the whole, I mean, everything, the migrant situation, the National Guard being used as secure. Oh, man, it looks like they're trying to find ways to enact martial law. You know, it's like little small steps of things that they're trying to do. And unless people could pay attention early, they're going to be able to do it. And there's ways that we can stop it, but we got to be in unison, not separated. We got to get out of this black and white shit. Like, the cops that's doing it, they all stick together. Like, it might be white cops that's doing stuff as well as, you know, maybe black cops that's doing stuff, but they all stick together at this point.
Yeah. And we just need to come together as people. That's really what it boils down to. It's like there's so much strength in numbers. Just like they can't take us all. They can't, you know, not if we're banding together. They can't take us all.
No, and then think about it. That's just on the physical aspect. But imagine if they got a 1,000 people that are thinkers. Hold on. Let's not even go that far. Just imagine if they had 100 people that are thinkers that know how to execute it and put together and strategize. That takes away from having 1 million people that's ready to fight. Like, if you think about the people that control the world now, they said it's only 1,000 families that's really in control of the billions of people. They own the majority of the wealth. They're the ones that run the national, the international banking system. They run all of, they own all of the clothing. They own all the real estate. Like, these are the same 11 families that they say. It's like around 1,000 or so people, right? 1%. Remember, they call it the 1%. That's that about 1,100 people or so that run everybody, so to speak. And I'm saying that in the sense of, like, if they count the people who don't even talk to people, motherfuckers who still living in jungles and villages, sitting in no fuck with nobody. You come in there, they eat you. They count them too in the billion. Yeah. People running them too. Like, even them, they think they out there chilling. Now, people know that they out there. They be flying drones out there and all. Like, they know your ass out there. They know everything you doing. They could come through and take your whole shit and turn it to a resort if they want to. Y'all, even them. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, look, I feel like at some point, y'all, we just got to be the people who stick together in the terms of saying, like, yo, this could have happened to me, so let me do something to try to get in the fight. Well, don't look like she's going to jump back on. I think she had a, I don't know. Maybe her phone might have died or something. But her signal was jumping a little bit. So I'm going to reach out to her. And then, again, all of y'all that was watching, I definitely appreciate y'all for jumping on tonight. We didn't get a lot of comments tonight. And I know why. Because... yo, that story was serious, man.
It didn't make any sense. It was so crazy. The fact 2 feet apart, but there's 3 cops. Y'all couldn't detain him? You had to shoot 3 cops? There's 3 of y'all and 1 of him. And your only course of action was to shoot. That was it. Shoot. That's wild.
Super wild. So, all right. So for those of y'all that's watching, thank y'all so much. Now, next week, you know, we got a couple more shows. Like, we got more impacted families. Like, we're gonna let these people get this information out, because at the end of the day, as similar as the story sound, it also would let us all know exactly what we're facing. We all share a common enemy, so to speak. Even if you guys are not, you know, dealing with it directly, understand that this thing could happen to you. And like, it doesn't have to necessarily be a child. It could be a loved one. It could be anything, you know, that you've seen that's important to you. And you're going to want people to help you. So I just hope that people share these videos when the clips come out. I hope people share this information. Talk to your young teenage boys if y'all have any. Try to teach him about police etiquette. Like, we understand that you can follow everything and comply and things will still happen to you. The point is, though, you want to make sure that they know everything they need to be better equipped to not antagonize it. If it's going to happen, like we said, this person woke up that morning, they feel like they're going to take a life, your son is the person in front of them, or daughter. I mean, that's the part that I'm saying that it could happen to you. But the fact of whether they're taught how to have proper etiquette when dealing with police officers, that's on us as adults. And we got to be willing to take those extra steps with our children. You could be tough, but, you know, it's just a time and place for everything, right? So before we get out of here, Meek, anything that you want the people to know that you got coming up?
This year my goal is to really get up and running with my life coaching. I've been kind of kept putting it on the back burner. I need to get back out here. There's so many people who can use the help that I can provide. So that's what I'm pushing for this year, really getting some things popping, reaching some souls and helping them heal through some shit. So that's my mission.
Yeah, because people need it, and we got means of making sure that it's a lot of people who need just that type of energy. You know what I mean? To help them to keep moving forward. Like, like Michelle said before she went off, like she worked with other moms to help her keep pushing, even mm-hmm. though she's been dealing with this for over 9 years, dealing with her child. You know, she's dealing with the people who are dealing with it right now, too, to help her keep fighting. And I guess along the lines of you, too, like you got to think about it. Life coaching, some of these people are going to need those type of extra things to help them get through. And yeah, so it all comes full circle, right? Like we find, if we don't find our purpose will find us.
I mean, and that's what I life coach for, is purpose. Your life purpose. That's my goal. I want to, there's so many women that get stuck. And I say women because that's who I normally work with. But yeah, you get stuck. You get stuck in these cycles and you get stuck in these headspaces and you forget. Because I know I was there. You know, that's how I found my purpose, is actually learning all this stuff, learning who I am, my desires, my passions, focusing on me a little bit, taking that word selfish and making it less of a negative word, more of a positive.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I see that. I see how people can do that, you know. And you know, the synonymous with selfish, I just hate selfish people. Like, that's just a turnoff for me.
Yeah, and I think it depends on how you're being selfish. There's levels to it.
Yeah, I get that. Because at some point, you got to be for yourself, right? Yeah. You got to take care of you before you can take care of other people. Like they say on the plane going, put your mask on, put your vest on first. You know what I mean?
And that's what I thought about. Just like, okay, if I'm unhappy, if I can't find enthusiasm for life, how can I raise my kids to find that? You know, like it's deeper than just me. It goes, there's generational curses, you know, can't add on, gotta take away. So
nah, that's a fact. Generational curses are real, and at this particular point we all are finding different ways to continue to break them, and sometimes we don't know how many curses we got until we face them, you know what I mean? So nah, it's a good thing that if people have the mindset to continue to break those, for real. Well, what we're going to do, as far as me, y'all know what to do. We got new content dropping. Actually got a new content dropping tomorrow. We got the Side Guy series we starting. We got that one dropping tomorrow. We got more impacted families that we're dealing with on the show here. So for those of y'all that's watching, please subscribe if you're watching this on YouTube. Please like this video and please hit the notification button so you'll know whenever we go live, because like I say, it's good for you guys to get the information on things that's happening to these stories and what cities and places that these take place. So for you as a parent, if you know that your children are going to these particular cities and different places, these are things that you can start praying about in advance. I mean, at least if that's something that you call yourself doing in order to send out and protect your children, this will give you the opportunity to give them something, give yourself something to kind of, you know, send ahead of them. Because, you know, these children are leaving and not coming back home, y'all. So we want to make sure that we get back into our prayer mode as a group, and making sure that we pray for other people as well, as we pray for ourselves. Other than that, it's just a lot of new things on the horizon for the whole thing going on. So I just want y'all to stay connected with us, stay following. Things are going to keep continuing to grow. Thank y'all for growing with us, because like I said, without y'all, this wouldn't be possible. Y'all are growing with us as the platform is growing, the audiences as well. You guys are engaging a lot more. So thank y'all. Thank y'all. So without further ado, I appreciate all of you guys that jumped on tonight and watched. Remember, all the guests that's on the show, if y'all follow me, you'll see clips of them. You can either, they all comment, they're all in the thing, they be tagged on it. So go in there, just, you know, drop them a little note, let them know you might have saw them on the show, tell them, hey, I'm praying for you, whatever you can, like small kind words, they all will appreciate it. Because like I said, some people are still in a fight. Like this young lady that was on tonight, 9 years she's fighting to get justice for a child. So you can imagine at some point other people have given up on her and have gone quiet when she had to still keep the spark going. So, you know, any little word of encouragement, I'm sure they would appreciate. So just be mindful that it can happen to you, all right? So until next week, make sure y'all tune in next week. Next Tuesday, it's going to be another dynamic show, man. We got another Impacted Family on, and we're going to, like I said, we're going to continue to allow people to come on this platform to get that off. We know what it's like to have our news suppressed. Not no more. Spartan Conversation is for y'all, man. All right. So until next week, y'all be cool out there. And remember, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. All right. So peace.